I'm just so glad that all of you guys are in here. You know, this is, I say it all the time, but I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that's so intentional about people growing and being discipled and discovering their God-given potential, and so thankful for this content. I've now gotten to go through it like 3 or 4 times, just being a part of it, sitting in, listening to other teachers, teaching parts of it myself. Tonight is one of my favorite teachings, so I'm glad I was asked to be able to be in here with you guys. But just to recap, guys, real quick, let me read you this scripture first off from Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 35. It says, "Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples, and he said," this is Jesus speaking, "if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." And I really feel that that's a great scripture that encompasses what Grow 3 is really all about. You guys have been on a journey through Grow Track 1, Grow Track 2, and now here you are in Grow Track 3, and God is doing something in your life, and we're so excited that you guys are a part of it. You know, Grow Track 3's theme is this. Everybody listen to me. It's living lives of deep obedience that cost us something. Now, did you hear that? Like, everybody say, yay, that sounds, you know, that sounds fun. That sounds easy, right? It's a pretty heavy theme for Grow Track 3, but it's true, and it's an amazing thing. God wants to do, he wants to take you to another level. He wants you to stretch further than you've ever stretched before. And if you allow God to do that this semester, Grow Track 3 will do that for you. I'm telling you. Nobody's going to make you do anything. We've got some things that we're going to offer to you and ask you to make some commitments, but nobody's going to make you do it. But I believe that each and every one of you around every table are here for a reason. God's got you here on purpose for a purpose, and he's got you in Grow Track 3, and he wants to stretch you, and he wants to show you some things that maybe you've never experienced in that relationship with Jesus before, okay? And so be ready for that. This is the final semester of Grow Track for you, and it focuses on pursuing an even deeper relationship with God. And that involves dying to ourselves, right? That sounds fun, right? Dying to ourselves, surrendering, right? Surrendering all that we have, all that we are to him, so that he can truly we can discern his will for our lives. Because every one of you, as our mission declares, have a God-given potential. And God wants to show you some new things. He wants to do some incredible things in you. But for some of us, there's some stuff that we have to die to ourselves and begin to really focus on him and go to a new depth and intimacy with the Lord. And you're going to begin to see some things that you may have to surrender in order to truly reach that God-given potential and experience some of the things that God wants for you. And while that sounds maybe a little bit, wow, that's intense, man, it's an incredible ride, an incredible journey that God wants to take you through. He's been taking you through it already, and he's going to complete it through Grow Track 3 and beyond. Does that sound good to you guys? You know, Grow Track 1, I think of it this way. If I had a pot up here with soil in it that I was going to plant a flower or a plant in, I look at Grow Track 1 as kind of, it's the pot with the soil, and you're the seed that gets dropped into that soil, and it begins to get watered, and it begins to grow, right? All the things that you learned and you gained from Grow Track 1. Then you transition on to Grow Track 2, and it's more of a group facilitator approach where you did a lot of work together at tables, and that plant begins to just really, really grow, and it grows its leaves and its branches, right? Well, in Grow Track 3, I look at it more as it's grown up, but now it has to be pruned a little bit. It's got to be cut back a little bit. Why? And the reason is it's so further growth can happen. Better healthy growth can happen. And so that's you, that's me this semester in Grow Track 3. And my heart is that you would just have the type of heart that's open to what God wants to do and to show you some of the things that you may need to surrender to him, that you may need to cut back and allow him to do that kind of pruning process so that you can grow even deeper, grow even further in your relationship with him. Does that make sense? And so a life of deep obedience and surrender flows out of a deep relationship. And so we're going to hit on that quite a bit. The first section that we're going to talk through over the next 3 weeks is titled Developing a Deeper Relationship with God. You've got your workbook there in front of you. And like I said, it's broken down into 3 or 4 sections, Grow Track 3. And the first one has three teachings starting tonight. And it's all about developing a deeper relationship with the Lord, with God, right? And we're going to start tonight by talking about this idea of mastering the art of abiding. Next week, you're going to, I believe, hear from Pastor Talia on how to study and accurately interpret the Bible. I love that in Grow Track 1, we kind of got you going. We got you reading the Bible, reading the Word of God. Then in Grow Track 2, you learned about the SOAP method, how to take that a step further. And now you're going to learn even deeper through this semester on how to study and accurately interpret the Bible and just go deeper into it and see things that maybe you've never seen before as God speaks to you through His Word. And then in week 3, you're going to talk about the results of prayer and fasting. But tonight, we're going to talk about this idea of mastering the art of abiding. And let me tell you something. This comes from the book of John, and John chapter 15. And that is a passage of scripture that I've heard growing up as a kid in church many, many times. I heard it preached on, taught on so many times. But a few years ago, I heard a missionary preach on this passage, and it gripped me in such a new way that I'd heard it before, but it was just different. It was this missionary by the name of Dick Brogdon, who's just an incredible communicator. He served in North Africa in some of the most extremely dangerous countries as a missionary in the world. And he started the Live Dead Project, which you're going to learn about in this class. We're actually going to have a journal, a book, that we're going to ask you guys to go through. It's a 30-day journal, 20-day journal. 30-day journal that you're going to read every day. And this guy started that organization, started that ministry. They plant churches in some of the most difficult parts of the world to get churches going, to get the gospel spread. And he spoke on this passage, and it really gripped me. And he said a statement in there that I want us to think about for a minute, and that's, if we will return to the simplicity of just having Him, the simplicity of just having Jesus, of abiding in Him, man, we'll go to a whole new level. God will use us in a new and incredible way than He's ever used us before, if we'll just return to the simplicity of abiding in Him. So let me read this scripture to you. It's in, I believe, in your notes. They're from John chapter 15, verses 4 through 8. It says, "Abide in me." Now let me stop there for a second. If you read other versions, it might say, "Remain in me." It might say, "Live in me." In fact, we give you the message passage of this down below it. And but in this, we're going to read from this version, and it's abide, okay? That's the word that's used in this passage, in this version of it. But John 15, 4 through 8, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." And this is the passage that really, just really, really stuck out to me, the verse that stuck out to me in this passage. "For without me, you can do nothing." And I felt like the Lord stopped me when I read that for the first time. And I'd read it many times as growing up through the years. And I felt like God said, "Who do you think you are, Stephen, that you can minister or be a pastor or be a husband, or be the father that I've called you to be without me?" And I had realized that I was trying to do a lot of things in my own strength, that I love the Lord, grown up in church, I'm in ministry, read the Bible and studied and enjoyed what I did, but I was trying to do too much in my own strength, and I was trying to do it without Him. And I love this statement, "For without me, you can do nothing." And it's so true. If I'm not abiding in Jesus, if I'm not spending extravagant time with Jesus, who do I think I am that I'm going to be able to minister the way God called me to minister, be the husband that God called me to be the dad that God's called me to be, if I don't spend extravagant time and abide in Him? Does that make sense to you guys? Let's go on reading here. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And so Jesus takes this picture of this branch, this vine with branches on it. Who is the vine? Jesus, right? The vine is Jesus. It's God. We're the branches. And so in order for that branch to produce good fruit, occasionally you have to cut it, you have to prune it back so it might grow better. Every time I read this, I picture a plant that was in my grandmother's yard. And every year she would like, I remember when I was little, she would cut the limbs off like way back. And I'd always think, what are you doing? It looks crazy now. You've cut everything off. And she would say, no, it's okay. It's going to grow back even more beautiful this next year, this next season. And it always did. And so that's our lives. And when but we have to be attached to the vine, right? Apart from the vine, we're not going to produce the kind of fruit that God wants us to produce. We have to be attached to the vine. So there's this idea that we must abide in him. We must abide in the vine. And so let's jump right into this, into your notes. What is abiding? What is abiding? John uses the word abide 15 times, I'm sorry, 10 times in this chapter of 15, right? John chapter 15, it's used 10 times, and those are just other evaluators, and so I'm just kidding. They're gonna help them find where they need to go. But hey, so he uses it 10 times in this chapter. He uses the word abide. So I would say that it's important. Obviously, Jesus was trying to get his point across. He wanted us to really catch that word and think on that word and realize what it's all about. The Greek root word of this word abide is meno, M-E-N-O, and it's used 118 times throughout the Bible. So it's used quite a bit, okay, this word meno. And it's intensive in origin. Well, what does that mean? That means that there's a deeper meaning to this word meno than it was often, you know, it was used or thought of and used. There was a deeper meaning to it. And so it's kind of like this. Tell me something that you just love. Anybody, throw it out there. What's something that you just absolutely love? Working out. Coffee. Yes. Worship music. Naps. Who said naps? Is that my wife? Naps. Yes. Anything else? Mountains. Awesome. We love all kinds of things, right? The beach. Is that what somebody said? I love Dr. Pepper. I love ribeye steak. But I also love my wife here, Ellie. Now, if I'm saying all these things that I love and then I say I love my wife, obviously I love my wife differently than I love Dr. Pepper, than I love ribeye steak. I love ribeye steak, but I love my wife more, right? And it's crazy because we just throw that word out there, this word love, and we love coffee, right? But obviously I love my kids, I love my family, these close ones. I love the Lord with a deeper sense of meaning in that word than I do coffee or some of those other things, right? Well, this root word of meno is kind of that same thing. It's got this, it's intensive in origin. In other words, there's a deeper meaning to it that many times than it's used. And just like we use the word love sometimes. So meno means to continue in a place. Right? You're going to continue in a place, one place, to remain stable or to remain fixed in a certain state, to stay, to remain, to endure, to wait for, to be held, right? There's so many words that are connected to this, to keep continually, right? And it comes from this root word of meno, okay? And there's actually five different Greek words that for abide that use this root word of meno. And let me go through those real quick. I think they're in your notes. The first one is epimeno. Hope I don't butcher these words. But epimeno, which means a perseverance in continuing to do something. It's this idea that I'm going to persevere, I'm going to abide, I'm going to persevere in whatever it is that I'm doing. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how tough it may be, I'm going to continue this. I'm going to persevere in continuing to do something. The one thing I love about this one is just think of this idea of practicing his presence. If we take it back to spending time with Jesus, you have to practice his presence. The only way that you're going to do that is that you get alone with Jesus, right? And if we don't do that and persevere in that and continually do that, then we're not really practicing his presence. And God desires that we practice his presence, okay? So that's epimeno. The next one is catmeno, which is constant residence, frequent resort. You have a physical address, all of us, right? Mine's 1808 Southwood, and that's my permanent residence, right? But when it comes, 18, no. And my wife's shaking her head because we sold our, that's funny. I didn't get it at first, and I'm like, we just sold our house in May, and now we're living in a two-bedroom quadplex over here at the church with five of us and a dog. So she's like, that ain't my residence. She's looking at me like, no, that's good. Sorry. Yeah. And we are desperately looking for a house. And so that's funny. Where was I at? That totally threw me off. Constant residence, right? It's this idea that, hey, the presence of Jesus, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus every day for at a certain time, and I'm going to do my best every day to be at that constant residence. I'm going to resort there, that is my place, that everything else in my day revolves around that constant residence of being with Jesus. The next one is this, paramino. It's meaning to continue, used to express confidence in abiding with a person. There's just something about the more we're with Jesus, the more confidence we have. Those of you in the room that may be struggling with fear, with doubt, with anxiety, and you don't find yourself to be a very confident person for whatever reason, there could be so many things that are wrapped up in that. The more time you spend with Jesus, there comes a confidence, right? Because you're just you've spent so much time with him that you're secure in who he is, who your heavenly Father is, that no matter what's thrown at you that day, there's a confidence that you've got Jesus at your side all the time because you've been in his presence. Does that make sense? Then there's hupomino, to remain in a place instead of leaving it. It's kind of this idea, I'm going to remain in this. Even, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but it's the idea that I've spent time with Jesus, but even though I'm not in that spot in my home praying, Jesus is still with me throughout the day, right? I'm going to remain in that state and that place, and I'm not going to leave it through the day. I'm going to continue to persevere in the presence of Jesus, right? And then finally, prosmino, it's persistent loyalty or continuance in doing something. After a while, you flex that muscle of spending time with Jesus, and all of a sudden, there's just a continuance. There's a loyalty to it that I don't care what's thrown at me. I've got to have that time with Jesus. I don't care how busy things get, right? Seasons come, seasons go. There's changes. There's lots of things that come in busier seasons and slower seasons, and we've got kids and we've got schedules. But man, I'm going to be persistent and loyal to that time with Jesus. So all of these are used in different ways to describe this idea of abiding, and that's why we're talking about that. That's why I think it's so important to kick off Grow Track 3. We've got to master this. We've got to realize that this idea of abiding in Jesus is so important. It's so important for your growth in your relationship with the Lord. Here's a few things in your notes of what abiding is not, okay? Here's what abiding is not. Number one, it's not visiting, okay? It's not visiting. You're not just visiting. How many of you have those family members that you're so thankful that they just visit every once in a while? Amen. You can be honest with that. We've all got them, right? It's okay that I only see that family member during the holidays, right? Or they come and visit every once in a while. My wife and I lived in Kansas for 5 years, and right after we got married, I was okay with the fact that in-laws were in Michigan and Texas, and we were a healthy distance in the middle from family sometimes. Does that mean? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But now it's nicer. We got they have grandkids. We've got kids, and it's nice to be closer to family. But for a while there, that was kind of nice. But abiding is not just visiting. You know, when it's convenient, I'll just visit with the Lord. When it works out, if I wake up early enough, if I'm not too tired, it's not that idea. That is not abiding. Abiding is consistent, right? It is different than just visiting. It's also not dropping by. Dropping by just shows no consistency. And God wants this consistency from us. Why? Because there's so much he wants to show us. There's so much that he wants to do in us, right? It's also not back and forth. Well, one week I'm committed to it. One week I'm committed to spending time with him. Or, man, just during that 21 days of prayer, I'll show up at 6 a.m., but I don't know if I can continue to do that. It's this kind of back and forth. That's not abiding. Abiding is a lifestyle. It's a commitment, right? It's also not temporary. If it's just temporary and our time with God is just temporary, then that shows no discipline, right? And discipline leads to desire, which leads to a delight. if we make something a habit, if we consistently do something and we practice and master that art of abiding in Jesus, soon it turns into a desire that I don't know what my day would be like without abiding in Jesus. And it's an actual delight. That's the best part of my day, is to spend time with my Heavenly Father. And then finally, it's not giving up, right? Is there times that we want to give up? Yeah, we just go through tough challenges. We go through tough seasons. And many times it's due to being tired of waiting. Anybody had to wait on the Lord, right? My wife's waiting on the Lord for a house, amen, right now. I mean, there's just, you know, I use that as a silly example, but there's times when God has us wait. And sometimes we don't understand why we're waiting. And sometimes we get frustrated, right? And we get tired and we want to give up. When God wants us to press through, because there's so much that He wants to teach us, not only in the payoff at the end, there's a lot to learn in the waiting, right? There's a lot to learn as you're continuing to walk through that valley, through that time, okay? So those are some things that abiding is not. You guys still with me? All right, let's jump into what abiding adds to the life of all of us, adds to the life of the believer, of the Christian. Number one, it adds a deeper connection to God. Anytime you spend every day with somebody, you're gonna have a deeper relationship with that individual. Obviously, my wife, you know, the more time I spend with her, the deeper connection I'm going to have with her. When you have kids, three kids and a dog, and life is busy and life is crazy, sometimes it can feel like you're more roommates than husband and wife. And if you're not careful and you don't spend that time together outside of that, it can feel that way. So you have to make sure that it doesn't turn into that. But there's a deeper connection when we spend time together and we talk and we listen and we have that time together, right? And it's the same with the Lord. When we abide with Him, it creates a deeper connection to God. Number two, it creates a greater peace and joy. As I was saying earlier, for some of you guys, you may walk in here tonight and you're at a place where you have no peace. You have no joy. For whatever reason, and life is just hectic, and you're full of anxiety, you're full of whatever it may be. Maybe this summer was an incredibly rough couple of months, and you're dragging in here to the first week of Grow Track 3. Well, number one, I'm glad that you're here, but I want to tell you, too, that it's abiding in Jesus on a consistent basis. There comes such a great peace, and there comes a joy. Does that mean all your problems are solved? No, it doesn't. But there's a great peace, even if the doctor has bad news for you, or the job's not working out, or your home is a mess, or your relationship with your child is not going well, or whatever it may be, there can still be peace and there can still be joy because you're spending time abiding in Jesus, okay? Number three, it adds an abundance of fruitfulness in our lives. Just as it said, you know, if the branches are not connected to the vine, it's not going to produce the kind of fruit that it needs to produce, healthy, good fruit. And sometimes if we're not careful, when we don't spend enough time with Jesus, we got some stinking fruit. We got some fruit that can begin to stink and begin to rot because we haven't abided in Him. We haven't been connected to the vine like we should. But if we are on a consistent basis, it produces healthier fruit in our life. There's more joy, there's more peace, there's more patience. When I spend more time with the Lord, I'm more patient with my kids. It's just the way it is, you know, when I'm having more time with Jesus. He who abides in me produces much fruit, that scripture said, what we read just a while ago, right? So in order to produce the right fruit, good fruit, we've got to be spending time with Him and abiding in Him, okay? So how do we master the art of abiding in a chaotic culture? We live in a chaotic culture, in a chaotic world with busy schedules and all that. So how do we do this? How do we master the art of abiding? Well, number one, you've got to avoid the adversaries of abiding. What do you guys think are some adversaries to abiding, spending time with Jesus on a consistent basis and abiding in? What are some adversaries? What is it?
Television.
Yeah, can be. Phones. Yeah. Work. Too busy of a lifestyle, absolutely. Fatigue, yeah. There's tons of things that can be such adversaries. And some of them are good things, right? Some of them are just good things. I sat at lunch with a friend of mine that doesn't attend the church today, and man, he just, every time we get together, he's a great guy from a great family, but they just go. And that's all he talks about is just just how busy they are and their kids are. And it just breaks my heart because I'm like, man, when do you find time to be in church? When do you find time to be with your family? And there are it's like that. There's so many adversaries that sometimes aren't even bad things. Yeah, bad things can keep us from abiding, but there's a lot of good things that we can do. But if we do too much of it, we miss out on abiding in Jesus. But here's a couple things that I want to show us. One is apathy. Apathy can definitely be an adversary of abiding. Just that, I'm not sure I want to do this. Just the apathy of not wanting to spend time with Jesus. Another is anger. For some of us, you could recently or long ago gone through something that has caused a lot of anger towards even God, and it keeps you from abiding in Him. Anger towards someone else, something that was done to you, you know, and the circumstances maybe weren't even your fault whatsoever. But at the end of the day, the enemy wants to use that to keep you from spending time with Jesus. He's won. That's his game plan. If he can get you focused on that individual who owes you an apology or hurts you instead of spending time with Jesus, he loves that. He's going to try to break out communication between you and God and abiding and spending time with him, right? So anger can definitely be one of those adversaries. All your to-dos, we just talked about that, right? We are so busy as a culture. I mean, we're just busy all the time. Right? You're busy with your kids. Your kids have schedules. We have schedules. And there comes a time, guys, you're going to learn through Grow Track 3. I'm telling you right now, God may ask you to stop doing some things. It might not be so much about what he wants you to start doing. I mean, obviously, he wants you to start spending more time with him. But God may speak to you about some stuff that you got to stop doing. And you know what? It might not even be bad stuff. It might be stuff that you really, really, really enjoy doing. Right? But he wants you to do it. Why? Because he wants you to have more of a focus on him, because he's got more for you. He wants to pull out more of that God-given potential in your life, and he can't do it if some of those other things have you and you haven't surrendered those things. There may be friendships. There may be relationships. I've been through this a couple times, and I've heard the testimonies of people that have had to let go of some friendships and relationships because they knew, even though they weren't necessarily unhealthy, they were things that just were pulling at them, and they had to surrender that to God so that they can fully abide in him and discover all that he had for them. Does that make sense? And then absence. Absence is a adversary to abiding. In other words, you're not there. You're not spending that time with him. I love this quote. To be much like Christ, you have to be much with Christ, right? And so to be like him and to be with him, we've got to be much with him. We've got to spend that time. And you're going to be challenged to spend more time than you've ever spent with the Lord during these 12 to 13 weeks during this semester. And I'm telling you, I say this in starting point week two every time, whatever God asks you to give up, I'm telling you, will compel in comparison during this season to what he has for you. It might be something you really enjoy. God, I really enjoy doing that. Man, I spend a lot of time with you during the week, but my Saturdays, God, that's my time, right? Or that's when I do this or I do that. And God's saying, hey, I want it to be an everyday thing. So you need to give that up so you can spend more time with me and you can see all the things that I have for you. But it's going to be good. It's going to be incredible what God does. Here's another thing. Number two, the second thing of mastering the art of abiding is to just make a commitment, simply make a commitment to abide in Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. If we stopped right there, that'd be a pretty depressing verse, wouldn't it? Nobody likes discipline at first. It is painful. The discipline of working out, the discipline of stopping something, starting something, you name it. It's painful at the time. But later on, this verse says, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It's the same with putting some of these actions to work in our lives, especially abiding in Jesus and practicing the presence of Jesus and spending extravagant time with him. I read an article today that talked about discipline, and it said you need discipline to achieve the good life. And that may be true, but that may be a truth that some believe, but what I do know is that we need discipline to experience a deeper and more intimate relationship with our Lord. It takes discipline. And while that might be painful for a season, might be difficult for a season, eventually it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace and God showing you things you never experienced before. So we need to be disciplined in order to master the art of abiding, okay? And here's the deal. I want y'all to remember this. You're as close to Jesus as you want to be, right? You're as close to him as you want to be. Nobody's going to make you do anything this semester in Grow Track 3. We're going to give you some tools. We're gonna push you with some teaching, but you're as close to Christ as you want to be. And so it's your call, it's your commitment. And so here's some things that we would like for you to commit to in the keys to abiding in your daily life. Y'all ready for this? We're going to finish on this. This is the keys to abiding. How much time we got here? 7:44, we're doing good. But here's the keys to, here's what we're going to ask you to commit to when it comes to this idea of abiding, okay? And we got a little acronym here. We'll start with A. For the word abide, A is just like Jesus, you need to arrive at your certain place consistently. Okay, what is your certain place? For me, it's my living room in the morning. If I do it at night, I'm just going to lay before the Lord, and I'm going to lay before the Lord and fall asleep. It's just not going to happen. I can't do it. Ask my wife. She tries to get me to stay up and watch stuff, and I fall asleep. I can't do it. If I open the Word of God and start to read, I'm going to conk out. So I get up early before my kids get up. I get a cup of coffee so I can see straight, and then I'm good to go, right? And so that's my certain place, and I have to arrive there every single day, right, consistently. For some of you, it might be the total opposite. You know, you want to put the kids to bed and have your time, and at night, that's your time to read the Word, study the Word, turn on some worship music and worship and pray and do your thing. But wherever it's at, or it's lunchtime, whatever it is, all of us need to find and arrive at that certain place consistently. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we see even Jesus doing this. It says, then he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place. And when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. If you look through the Gospels, Jesus had his certain, you see where he pulled away, and he had his he arrived at that special place, that certain place and certain time. It was from this consistent time with the Father that Jesus received all that he needed to be and do, which he was sent to reveal and accomplish, right? It was because he spent time with his Father. He practiced and mastered the art of abiding for us, right? Another thing is that the key to being the person God has created you to be is to consistently arrive, consistently show up to your certain place and stay connected to him in such a way that you think what he thinks. And you begin to feel what Jesus feels about people and situations, and you are more easily able to live and act and behave like Jesus. Isn't that the goal, guys? To be like Jesus? When was the last time our heart broke for lost people like it breaks the heart of Jesus? I'll be honest, it's been a while for me, right? When was the last time you spent time with Jesus, significant time with Jesus, you began to cry when you thought about the people that are in your sphere of influence that don't know Jesus, right? You thought about family members. And that's not to get down on us, but it's just that's what abiding is that you spend that kind of extravagant time with Jesus, that you begin to feel what he feels. You begin to see what he sees, and you begin to see people through Jesus' eyes and not your own eyes. And that annoying co-worker, not through your fleshly eyes of, would that person just quit and go work somewhere else? No, it's that person's broken and needs Jesus just like I do, you know? And so that's what's special about that special place, that certain place that you have to arrive at on a daily basis, okay? That's A. B is be aware of his presence with you throughout your day. If you will spend time with Jesus, extravagant time with Jesus every day, he's going to go with you. You don't leave him there, guys. If it's on your couch or in your prayer closet or your bedroom, it's not like you spend that time in prayer and then you leave Jesus there and then you go on the rest of your day. No, be aware of his presence with you throughout the day. That's setting your day up. That's setting your time up because you've spent that time with Jesus. Jesus is with you. I think of this idea. There was a teaching I heard one time that talked about the dust of the rabbi, right? When rabbis would teach younger young men to become teachers and rabbis one day, the young men would spend so much time with the rabbi that the dust of the rabbi was on them. So in other words, if they followed them, you know, they're walking on dusty roads, dirt roads. They're so close with them all the time that all of a sudden there's dust on them, and it's this idea of the dust of the rabbi. And guys, if we spend extravagant time with Jesus, there should be a dust from our teacher, a dust of the rabbi on us. In other words, we go to work and people start to see, man, there's something different about Jessica. There's something different about Megan. There's something different about Alicia, because something's different. And it's because we've spent that extravagant time with Jesus and we have the dust of that rabbi upon us, right? So be aware of his presence with you throughout the day. And then I, when connecting with God, ignore all notifications and distractions. So these demons of distraction that we have in our pockets, we love them, we got to have them, but at the same time, I want to throw it out the window most of the time, right? Guys, you've got to put it away. And I'm first to be guilty at that. You gotta put it away and keep it away from that time. If it's a distraction to you, there's some great apps and there's some great things that you can use in that time when you're spending with Jesus. But if it's a distraction, we have to shut off and turn off all those notifications, all those distractions, all those things that keep us from spending time with him. And just know, guys, God's pulling out the pruning shears. Everybody knows what that is, right? They're like scissors, right, that you would use on a plant. And if you'll allow him to, he's going to take those pruning shears this semester, and he's going to begin to cut back. Our heavenly gardener, God, right? He's going to prune, and he's going to trim every branch that does not bear fruit. And we all got it, guys. There's some fruit on us that's not bearing good fruit. There's some branches that are dying or dead and rotten. And allow the Lord to prune and trim that back, and so that he can allow the new stuff to grow. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. In other words, he gets rid of all the dead wood so that the living, fruit-bearing branches may be sharply distinguished from them and may have more room for growth. I don't know about you, but I want more room for growth this semester for God to do in my life and in my heart, okay? D is develop a sacred rhythm. Okay, you got to develop a sacred rhythm. In other words, you got to get in this rhythm, and sometimes it takes time. But if you'll be consistent and you'll keep showing up to that special place, you begin to get this rhythm. And for me, a lot of times too, the rhythm is what I do in that moment. For some of you that are spending 15 minutes in prayer and in time with Jesus, I want you to push it. Go 30 minutes, 45 minutes. If you're spending 30 minutes, push it and go an hour. And everybody said, well, wait a second, Pastor Stephen, that means I got to get up 30 minutes earlier. Yeah, you do. That means I got to cut back on my time watching this or that. Yeah, sacrifice that for 12 or 13 weeks and see what God does, right? Push it a little bit further, you know? And one of the patterns I do is I read the Word for, say, 30 minutes, or I read X amount of chapters, right? Let's say I read 5 chapters. And then I might do the SOAP method with that. You guys learned to do that last semester, right? And then I take time to pray, and I keep a prayer journal, right? And I have index cards that I'll have, and I'll write some of the scriptures out that I read that morning. And I won't just read them and write them down. I'll begin to pray those scriptures. Helps me memorize it. That's just my rhythm for me. Develop a rhythm for yourself. For some of you, it may just be worship music. That may be how you have to start. You take 10, 15, 20 minutes of just turning on worship music and worshiping God to get your heart and your mind set in a place to begin to read the Word of God. But you got to find that sacred rhythm that works for you, okay? And then E, finally, emit the fragrance of His presence wherever you go. What does that mean? Well, there's a great passage, great illustration of this. I love this story. In John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. You imagine that scene, right? That she's doing this. And the house was filled with this fragrance of the perfume. I love that, this idea. This woman's act of worship caused a lingering effect throughout the whole house, right? And the house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. And guys, if you'll spend time with Jesus, extravagant time with Jesus, there's going to be a fragrance that emanates from you every single day, wherever you go. When you're in the office, people are going to be like, man, there's something different about Jay. There's just something different about him. I don't know what it is, but there's this fragrance, and it's because Jay's been with Jesus on a consistent basis every single day, right? How many of you have a favorite restaurant, right? How many of you go into that restaurant, and when you leave, you smell like that restaurant, right? You maybe have a favorite Mexican food restaurant, and you love it, and you don't even realize it, but people are like, yep, he's been at Lufkin Barbecue. I can smell that, you know, and that you just leave with that fragrance on you, and I know that's silly, but at the same time, it's like that when we spend time with Jesus. There's a fragrance about it and about you, and really it's about the Lord, that he's with you, he's walking with you. You didn't leave him there at that certain special place that morning. He's with you throughout the day, and that fragrance is there. I love this quote by Dick Brogdon. He says this, when we are saturated in the presence of Jesus under the authority of his word, there's a noticeable effect that emanates from us. There's just nothing like it. There's nothing like it, guys. May the fragrance of our worship fill our homes, fill our workplaces, wherever we go. You know what the cool thing is about abiding? You know, all of you guys are called to disciple other people. Guess what? You're in Grow Track 3 now. You've been discipled, and you're continuing to be discipled. But now God's going to start using you to disciple other people. And, you know, we make that so complicated. We so want to put it in a box and microwave it, and like if we just do this, 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 and that, then we'll be a good disciple, or we'll be able to disciple other people. If you'll just abide in Jesus, you'll disciple people. Like we make it too hard, but when we spend time with Jesus, extravagant time with Jesus, and we surrender everything to him, I mean, surrender it all to him, and we die to ourselves, die to our fears, die to those things of the world that hold us back, there is no greater message to the people around. You will disciple people simply by just abiding in Jesus. That's what that passage, it's a missional passage when you read chapter 15 in John. That's what it's about. It's about if we will stay connected to the vine and we produce good fruit, the world can't argue with that. They see it, they smell it, they experience it because we have spent time with Jesus. And so let that fragrance of our worship fill our homes, fill our workplaces, wherever we go. Let me read this verse to you, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when the men of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, saw the confidence and the boldness of Peter and John and grasped the fact that they were uneducated, untrained, ordinary men. I love that. God uses the underdog, right? So many times. And I'm one of them. I'm just redneck kid from Southeast Texas. And he uses us, right? Just ordinary people. They were astounded. And they began to recognize what? That they had been with Jesus. They had abided in Jesus. And people couldn't argue with it because they could just see it. They could smell the fragrance. They could see it on their face and the way that they lived their life, that they had been with Jesus, right? So abiding in Jesus, that's where we want to start Grow Track 3. You've got to master the art of abiding. And so what we're going to do, what's different too about Grow Track 3, guys, what you're going to experience is, you know, in Grow Track 1, you got great teaching, and occasionally there were questions, there was some table discussion time at times. Then in Grow Track 2, you had a lot of time where you would work together in groups. Well, in Grow Track 3, many weeks, we're going to leave you at the end with an opportunity for just you at the table. We're going to turn worship music on, so if you guys can go ahead and get that ready. It's kind of just a reflection time. And so there's a faith and action page there for you guys. And there's two questions. The first one is, what obstacles are in my way of being deeply obedient to Jesus? What's keeping me from abiding in Jesus daily? And what we want to do is take about 10 minutes, and we're just going to turn that worship music on. And I want you to just kind of pray at your seat and begin to write some things down. What are some things that are distracting me? What are some things that are keeping me from truly doing what we're talking about tonight? Because, man, I'm telling you, if you'll identify those things and you'll start to remove them and you'll run after Jesus and abide in him, he's going to do some amazing things. And then the second question, it says, prayerfully come up with a game plan. I'm a game plan kind of person. You have to. Like, my game plan is if I don't get up at a certain time and go to this spot and this place, it's not going to happen. My day's just too crazy. So does that mean I have to get up an hour earlier? Yeah, it does. Some days it doesn't happen. Amen? It doesn't. But if I can be consistent with it and get up at that time and spend time with Jesus, what is my game plan? What is your game plan to daily abide with Jesus? What will this look like? How long will you spend time with Jesus? When and where will you meet with him? I want you to get that specific and try it. If it doesn't work, switch it up. But we want you to go ahead and start thinking through those faith and action questions right now, tonight, and then I'll come back and close it up and talk to you guys about some other things we want you to do this week, all right? It all makes sense to you guys? So take a few minutes and do that. All right, guys. Looks like everybody's kind of finishing up here. Just a couple of things I want to remind you of. Take what you wrote tonight, and I really want you to take that throughout the week and pray over it and just really start to put these things into practice, into action. And that's what we're going to do each week is you're going to have kind of some reflection time on what was taught and then take that throughout the week and continue to work on it. It says here, number two, under your faith and action page, if you want to pull that back out, it says, make the following commitments as you begin this semester of Grow Track 3. Pray over your commitment this week. Over the next 12 weeks, I commit to working at removing these obstacles that keep me from abiding in Jesus. Some of us are going to fight over these things with God. Like, some of these things, you're going to be like, God, really? Like, do I really have to give that up? But I'm telling you, whatever you give up to completely surrender him, to him and to abide in him will pale in comparison to what he's going to do in your life over the next 12 weeks, okay? Second thing, it says this, I commit to spending extravagant time with Jesus over the next 12 weeks. Whatever you normally do, kick it up a notch. If it's 15 minutes, push yourself to 30 minutes. If it's 30 minutes, push yourself to an hour, right? And just see what God does, okay? So we want you guys to make those commitments, and you're going to find so many incredible things that God's going to do in your life. At the back of your book, just like in Grow Track 1 and 2, you're going to have a Bible reading plan, and we'd love for you to keep doing that again this semester. We want you to do that. We want you to go through that Bible reading plan, and we want you to use your SOAP with that, okay? Right? Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. You guys remember all that? If you need a refresher, come see us. We'll help you with that. It's a great way to study the scriptures that you're reading. And then finally, select one scripture to memorize this week. Can I give you one to memorize? It's John chapter 15, verse 5. That'd be a great one for all of us to memorize. And it's what we read tonight. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I just go back to where God punched me in the face with that a couple years ago. Like, who do you think you are? John chapter 15, verse 5. Yeah, I think that's a great one to practice. But God just said, look, who do you think you are, Stephen, that you think you can do these things without me? And I think it's the same thing he's saying to us, right? If we'll remain in him, if we'll abide in him, right? He's going to give us what we need. It's going to produce good fruit in our life. Why don't we stand real quick as we get ready to close in prayer? Go ahead and stand where you're at. So let me ask you this question. Are you guys ready to be stretched? A little bit of laughing, a little bit, yeah, I think so. And then a few of you not responding at all. You're just kind of like, I don't know. But God is going to stretch you. Can I read you this last quote that I thought speaks to what we talked about tonight before we pray? It's by Andrew Murray, and he said this, "'Tis only the abiding that can really satisfy the thirsty soul and give to drink of the rivers of pleasure that are at God's right hand.'" I don't know about you, but I want that. I want all of that for you guys. He says this. I love this. He says, "'You did well to come. You do better to abide.'" So don't just come to Jesus when you need him. I mean, don't just come to him when it's hard. Don't just come to Jesus when it's convenient, guys, right? You're better to go to him and abide. In other words, go to him and remain. Go to him and sit at his feet. You know, when I was a teenager and I was walking through some tough times in my life, I used to put a chair in the middle of my bedroom, and I would just imagine that Jesus was sitting in that chair. I did. And I would get on my face in front of that chair and imagine that was his feet. And I knew he was sitting there. I maybe couldn't touch him. I couldn't see him, but he was there. And it's this idea that I'm going to abide. I was great to come, but I'm better to abide, right? Not just when it's convenient, not just when it's when I have a big need in my life or things were stressful, but every day, all the time, come to him and abide in him. He goes on to say, who would, after seeking the king's palace, be content at just standing at the door when he is invited to come in and dwell in the king's presence and share with him in all the glory of his life? Guys, don't just stand at the door. Go in. God wants you to come in and abide with him and sit at his feet and cry at his feet and worship at his feet and go to a deeper level. And God, we're going to give you some tools and push you towards that this semester if you'll allow us to, okay? So let me pray for you tonight. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for your word, God, for your scriptures. God, this is just one of my favorite parts of scripture. God, it is just so powerful, God, this illustration of this vine and the branches, you being the vine, we being the branches. And I know everyone that's here tonight, God, for some of them it was tough to get here. And it's a commitment to be here. It's going to be a commitment to come here every week. But God, if we'll stay connected to you and we'll learn to master the art of abiding in you, Jesus, and staying connected to you, God, we're going to produce incredible fruit. Not for us, not to bring us any kind of accolades or pat on the backs, God, but to give you all glory and praise, God. That fruit is meant for the world around us, for you to use us, for your glory, for your name. And God, I pray that every person in here would make a commitment to abiding you this semester. And God, as we begin to tackle some things like dying to ourselves, dying to, insecurities, dying to fear, dying to some of those things that we need to kind of die to, God, so that we can be fully devoted to you. And God, as we begin to talk about tough subjects like surrendering areas of our lives to you, God, that, you know, we've given you 90%, but maybe not that 10%. God, would you walk with us, and as we abide in you, God, that you'll teach us how to do those things so that, God, we can discover even more that you have for us. And, God, that these guys would reach their full potential, their full God-given potential, God, in you. God, you love every person in this room, and you know about every need that they have, every circumstance. And, God, I pray that as they commit this semester to you, God, that you would do great and mighty things in and through their life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, y'all have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you Sunday.